You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome back to the second hour of Wake Up Tucson. Elvis Aaron Presley bringing us in on a second hour. It was really fun meeting Deb from base camp. It was, you know, this is why we do these interviews, because these things that we had no idea about go, oh, that's kind of cool. So thanks to Russ and Mike out at White Stallion for their support of this pretty important thing called base camp. So Matt and I are going to probably go out, and we'd like to ride on a horse at the same. Maybe get a little buggy or a little Surrey with a fringe on top, and me and Matt can just kind of.
Thank you, Mr. McRae.
Thank you. Very much. So remember, if you miss anything on this show, go to KVOI.com. Remember, Brother Joe coming up in the third hour. And then at the bottom of the hour, we're going to take the Tucson High Home of Champions bizarre Twilight Zone journey. Just goes, as we say in Spaceballs, goes right to plaid. I'm just telling you, it's a rainbow plaid. Coming up at 7:37 in the morning. As you know, I think I've heard this, I do live in the great town of Oro Valley. And in full disclosure, I am full support of this man coming up who's running for mayor. His name's Danny Sharp. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning.
How are you doing, sir?
Doing well. How are you?
Not too bad. I saw you you and the missus were running around on a 5K or something like that on Saturday.
We did the memorial walk, the memorial mile.
Yes.
And it was a fundraiser for the Hebrews Memorial that's slated to go in at Naranja Park, and doing everything we can to raise funds and bring awareness to that, because it's a great thing, and I think it's going to be very good for Southern Arizona.
Sad to say that's been a slow slog on fundraising. Is that an accurate thing?
That's very accurate. I think they've got a new executive director. She's doing a great job, and really brought energy into it. And I think it's really on track now to take off.
So you were on a couple of months ago, but for people who tell them, give them the Danny Sharp resume as we move into this conversation.
Well, I'm a fourth generation Arizonan, I started my career in law enforcement with the Tucson Police Department in 1978.
Are you a Tucson kid?
Actually, I grew up in Coolidge.
Oh, okay.
I'm a farm town kid.
Gotcha.
And that's my roots are very, very agricultural. But came to Tucson to go to school at the U of A and stayed and joined the Tucson Police Department and did 21 years at the Tucson Police Department. And
in college, did you know you were going to be a cop?
No.
What was your degree in?
Actually, it ended up being in criminal justice.
Did you start at ag?
Yeah, I was in ag, yeah. And actually, I started as a pharmacy major. Both my brothers were pharmacists, and that didn't appeal to me. And my next-door neighbor was a Tucson police officer, and I was finishing up, and he says, hey, we're hiring. So I thought, well, I'll do that until I figure out what I want to do when I grow up.
Look
and So I retired from the Tucson Police Department. I was appointed chief in Oro Valley and spent over 20 years police chief in Oro Valley. And I love Oro Valley. It's a great community. And, when I was hired at the Oro Valley Police Department, I was asked by the vice mayor if I would commit to a long-term contract. I went home and asked the boss. I said, so they want me to sign on long-term? And her comment to me was, I saw what being an assistant chief in Tucson did to you, so I don't know about being a chief, so I committed to 5 years.
Right.
So I learned very quickly that Oro Valley is much different than Tucson, and the community, it was a great, great opportunity.
Also, was the attitude of the elected officials was much different there in relation to public safety.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a partnership with the community. And of course, one of the things that, I was fortunate, my employment agreement that the council adopted was that it was open-ended. So my feeling was, and my approach was, that I worked for all the residents of the town of Oro Valley. I didn't work for the council. And I thought that was important perspective to make sure. And And every time the census came out, I always changed my numbers, you know, when you know, whatever the number is that I said that, how many people had me on speed dial. As police chief, I always answered my own phone. I didn't have somebody answering my phone for
me. That's true.
And so it was just one of those things where, you know, service is key.
So having that attitude that you work for the for the citizens and not directly just for a council that's elected by the citizens, how does that manifest itself in managing a police force?
Well, what it does is it gives you an attitude and gives the people that work there the idea that the notion and the value that they work for those people. I used to tell everybody that came to work at the police department, the old adage of people would say, "I pay your salary." That's true. The citizens pay our salary, and so I told them. I said, and it was interesting. I don't know if you remember, Ken Blanchard did a thing on legendary service, and they used Nordstrom's as the example in his book. We actually had an approach to that at the Tucson Police Department about, you know, legendary service for our customers. And it never sat well with me because I don't think, you know, I think the closest thing to a customer that the cops have are people they arrest. You know, they should get our full attention and that. But the people, the citizens that we serve and the businesses we serve, they're our bosses. So they're the stakeholders where we're employed. And so I would pass that on to everybody that came to work at the police department that these people, you work for them. They're your bosses. They're not customers. If you treat them like customers, then we're shortchanging them.
So here you are. You're retired from being the police chief. You've had a great career. You do a lot of work nationally on highway safety, and we've talked about that for years on the show. And then you said, "I'm going to run for mayor." So what's going on that Danny would take? And, you know, you have a great family life, and I see you and your wife cleaning Naranja. It's beautiful. Why now?
Well, we're going the wrong direction, and we need to right the ship. And I can sit idly by and watch it happen, or I can step in and do something about it.
What's the elements of wrong direction?
Well, we've seen examples of neighbor being pitted against neighbor. We've seen decisions that are made or not made that has just caused a lot of angst in the community. The sense of community is deteriorating. You look around the town, you know, we've talked about it before, you know, the trash at the parks, the graffiti, that would stay for months before anybody would do anything. Actually, until I was on your show and commented about it, and then all of a sudden things started getting cleaned up.
Shocking.
So, you know, just those are the types of things and where, you know, the uncertainty, and it's like, I need to do something about it. I love the community. This is where I live. I raised my family there. My son's raising his family here. And, you know, so I have to do something because we can't lose what we have.
All right, let's go to break, Matthew, 790-2040. Danny, what's the campaign website?
DannySharpForMayor.com.
And so if you want to donate, you'll see a big orange button on the left that says donate and support Danny. And we'll talk about, him and I will talk about some of the other things that are concerning us about Oral Valley and why it's important to vote for Danny and support him in this. So, Mayor Winfield, you're sure welcome to come. You can't, not allowed to bring your binder, but you are sure welcome to come and talk to me. You've been mayor for three and a half years. You should be able to do this without your binder now. So you're on the Wake Up Tucson Show, 10:30 The Voice. Oh, it's like a no-jo jazz Monday here. Little Billy Cobham. You're on the Wake Up Tucson Show, 10:30 The Voice. We're going to do one more segment with former Chief Danny Sharp, running for mayor of Oral Valley, DannySharpForMayor.com. And then wait till I get to this Tucson High story. It's just take your coffee, take a couple extra Valium. You're going to need it. It's going to be a wild 7:37 segment. Danny Sharp, welcome back, sir.
Nice to be here.
So one of the things that you and I have grave concerns about is at the people at City Hall and the constituency of Oral Valley, I feel like there's been a major breakdown over the last few years. And I feel like, for my, you don't have to say where, I think it comes from the top up, which is the mayor letting the town manager a little wild and crazy, is my take. But I just feel like the citizenry is having a breakdown of customer service with the actual employees. What do you think?
I'm hearing that. That's the thing, is I'm out talking to groups and individuals, and the nature of service for the
right
that's being provided has changed. It has shifted dramatically, and that's concerning, because again, government is a service organization. We exist to serve the constituency, and when the constituency is saying, "Gee, we're seeing a shift in service, and we're not liking it," that is concerning.
Well, so you worked at the city of Tucson. I've been looking at the city and the county devolve over the last 15 years. And as you guys have heard me at the city town council meetings in Oral Valley, go, stop slouching towards Pima County. We don't want to be that. But that's where we're sliding that way, on how the roads look, the trees look, the parks look, and just the attitude of, I feel like there's an attitude in City Hall with some of the people there, why are you bothering us? And that's the part that's really disappointing.
It is. And again, that's not the Oral Valley that I spent 20 years at. I mean, that's the thing, is the commitment. And we've got good people that work for the town of Oral Valley. And they are service-oriented, and they do want to provide that service. I just think they need the leadership and the support to be able to do the things. And there needs to be certainty. I think that's the thing, is we're not sure what direction we're going. I think there needs to be some vision and some action related to that vision.
What's going on in the world of budgets and money over there? Because I know that they're going to, thank God for the coronavirus for them, it bailed out their golf travesty for a while. But what's the budget and the numbers look like over there that you have concerns about?
Well, the fact that that we're over $50 million in debt, which is unprecedented for Oral Valley, that concerns me. That we've got to be able to not only pay off the debt. I mean, they've got record revenue coming in.
This was going to ask you. I don't think there's any shorts on the other side of the budget.
No, and that's the thing. But they're spending money like it's going to continue coming in. We know that the revenue is cyclic, and the fact that we've got a lot of money coming in on construction sales tax because of all the construction that's going on, but that's going to come to a screeching halt. And there's been no new construction development plans approved by this council in 3.5 years. So everything that's coming in is things that were approved before, and those projects will end, and then that revenue will stop. The $20 million that they got in CARES Act money, that's not going to continue. They're not going to get another infusion from the feds on that. So, they've spent that. I mean, we have to look out beyond the end of our nose to see what's going on and make sure that we're prepared for it, and making sure that we take care of our residents and our businesses.
I also don't see any serious plan in relation to maximizing sales tax revenue generation through what are the types of businesses that are going to bring that kind of. I don't see that either.
No, and see, that's the thing, is Oral Valley has been hugely dependent on construction sales tax, the growth stuff, and the intent was once we could get the rooftops in and start getting the retail, then we could start transitioning to have more of our revenue coming from the retail, and we're just not seeing that. You know, again, we lost Best Buy. They said basically turned down the reimagining of the marketplace, and that in and of itself, I mean, just the hotels alone projected bringing in $800,000 a year to the town.
Where would you like to see this marketplace go? Because, Bert and Jim, but their plan out, I know the current portion of the council's worried about height of apartments or hotels, which is ridiculous in that space. It doesn't bother anyone's view.
That's the place they should go.
Right.
I mean, right. And that's the thing. It's a plan. It's a well thought out plan where we're talking $336 million being invested. And you can't have just a piece of it. It has to be the entire plan. And so 10 more feet on a hotel, being able to put the parking under the apartments instead of having a sea of asphalt out, there's positives to this stuff, and frankly, in my conversations with people in the community, people are excited about it and want to see it happen,
Are they looking for any sales tax kickback from this town on this thing?
I hadn't heard anything about a kickback on it.
So it's a $336 million plan.
Yes.
Yeah. Built out.
Built, yeah.
Right.
And with entertainment area, a sense of place, where people can go, and having the apartments there so you can have people that can walk there. You have the hotels there, which are going to support the restaurants. That's the thing. It has to be a vision. It has to be a package in order to have that certainty, once again, that's so important for business to be able to come in and succeed. And, I've always talked, it's like saying, we'll let you put in a grocery store, but you can't have a produce section. You got to have the whole thing. And that's the thing. And I saw that as just a very positive thing for the town of Oro Valley and for our residents. And the residents, frankly, everybody, the people I'm talking to are very disappointed that it got turned down.
We got a minute left, so give us the Danny Sharp. You're stuck in an elevator for 1 minute with somebody. Why should they vote for Danny Sharp for mayor of Oro Valley?
Well, what I want to do is I want to bring back transparency and trust. Trust in local government should be something that's there. We need to make decisions in an open, transparent, honest way, and not have things done behind the scenes or behind closed doors. I'm going to bring back that transparency. Public safety is a huge thing to me. We need to give the police what they need. The staffing that they need and resources to be able to maintain the safety of our community and our businesses. And then I want to get the spending under control. We need to start having logical processes about how we're going to go about spending our money and hitting the priorities. We have a splash pad at James D. Cree Park. We don't need another splash pad before we have maybe a police station. So those are the types of priorities we need to look at and process.
All right. Good seeing you again, sir.
Good seeing you. Thanks, Chris.
Danny Sharp for mayor.com. Big orange button. Hit donate on the left. He's worth the money. I promise you. Wake up, Tucson. 10:30 The Voice. Look at you, Matt Neely. Spoiling me. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Remember that Oro Valley election is going to be determined on August 2nd. They do this weird thing. If you get a certain percentage, you don't have to go to the November election. So this is usually what happens. That's an August election for the whole enchilada, as we would say. So Joe Winfield's a mess. That's all I'm telling you. Joe, we tried to put you in there to get rid of Sadish Hiremath, bring some justice to the golf course, and you've been a disappointment, buddy. So we got to move on with our day. Now, Tucson High, the home of champions. Champions, champions, champions. So just when you think the ride can't get any weirder, right? Eastside Tom, of course. Eastside Tom, he taught there for over 20, 25 years. He told us, remember Badger Bucks? You remember the Badger Bucks story? Right? That's the little fake printed money that teachers hand out to students. And he calls it it's basically like extortion money. It's like, hey, Jimmy, thanks for not burning down the classroom. Here's Badger Bucks so you can buy your Takis. He would talk, you got that. So we had Badger Bucks. Remember teaching gender identity using the gingerbread man? Yeah, you can look it up.
That was Tucson?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Hey, I am sending you on a text the a bump for outs, okay? So just just take a look-see at it, please. And then so we had the Badger Bucks. We had remember earlier in the year we gave you that report from one of the moms sent us from Tucson High, the drag queen show, right? And that was put on by the two counselors over there. And so you got that going on. That made a little national news, believe it or not, that we had a drag queen show. 22% of the kids at Tucson High can read. What? What's that number again? 22% can read that are at reading level at Tucson High. So they can't read. Math scores are even worse. Right? We're not sending these kids out with any practical knowledge worth a damn other than the gingerbread man. Okay? So we can't read. We can't do that. Then we had a riot, right, with the dad coming in. They told him to walk out the back door. He walked through the yard. I love that's called the yard, right? Because it sounds like something from Escape from Alcatraz or something, right? Yeah, there's going to be trouble in the yard. It's like a prison yard, the way they talk about it. TPD, we got Sadie Shaw worried about them coming in with pepper spray guns or whatever they did. Well, hey, Sadie, what do you want them to do? You want one of these kids to take out a teacher or another kid? Is that better? Is it better that they get pepper sprayed or they beat someone to death? What do you want to do? Because you guys obviously can't handle discipline at the Home of Champions or most of these TOSD schools, because you don't empower the teachers and the principal to do discipline. They got to go. Remember, we restorative circles. The chickens have come home to roost, kids. Right? Then we had the poor kids from Tucson High show up at the board meeting and say, hey, this place is a horrible place to learn. There's no discipline. This is not a learning environment. It's a mess. And then the best thing we got is Sadie Shaw. I'm calling for an investigation. So what? You're not running a school there. You're running a feel-good, ideological brainwashing institute, is the best I can tell. So now.
But wait, there's more.
We're not, as we like to say in Spaceballs, we're going not just plaid. This is super plaid. Which I can't believe we're going super plaid. So I'm going to go to, it's been, this has some of this, well, the first part of the story has been in the regular news. Okay. And that first part of the story, of course, is that a teacher has been arrested at Tucson High. TPD said detectives received a report about an inappropriate, this is from KOLD, having sex with a teen student. An inappropriate relationship between a member of staff and a 15-year-old student, female member of staff. This person resigned on Thursday, May 5th. As of Friday, this person, for some reason, was not in the Pima County Adult Detention Complex. How did that happen?
Don't understand that.
She's facing a charge of sexual contact with a minor. According to the interim complaint, this person's ex-wife called the police after finding out evidence that this person was having sexual relationship with the minor.
So on another account, it seems that the minor might have been living with the counselor.
You are correct.
Which is just atrocious.
The minor initially told investigators it wasn't true, later admitted to a romantic relationship that was started in February of this year. Police said there was plenty of evidence on their cell phones to say they were in a relationship. The minor knew the investigators. They both knew the relationship was wrong because of the age of the teacher, of the person. So here's where it goes super plaid. So you should be disgusted enough, throw up in your mouth on that story. But this is where it goes super plaid. And only so far, I haven't seen it. The only locally I've seen, Loretta at Daily Independent has done this story. Okay. Zobella Brazil Vinick, age 29, who is the person that is being charged with sexual misconduct with a minor. Yes, 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 yes. She is the organizer of the Tucson High Home of Champions drag queen show. Vinick served as an educated support leave originally for scholarships A through Z, an organization working illegal immigrants learn higher education and relevant, this is according to the website, educational scholarships. Zobella, you're going to love this. I read this to you earlier when we did the story about the drag queen show. She's working to unlearn the practices maintained by white supremacy, capitalism, and the patriarchy, and recommits daily to, you're going to love this. This is a woman, 29-year-old woman having a sexual relationship with a 15-year-old girl and had her living with her. She recommits daily to prioritize mental health, community care, and vision of freedom offered by queer BIPOC organizers. Nothing is more amazing. And first of all, amazing by meaning like the idea that this place has gone this bad. Amazing is not a good term here, kids. The idea that the story about the drag queen show organizer, who is the counselor that works on your taxpayer dollar, who was hired as a woman from her previous job working, this is perfect, right? Working to unlearn the practices maintained by white supremacy, capitalism, and patriarchy. While maintaining a 22% reading at level rate. Can't make it up, man. I'm going to go back to my young lady who did that amazing piece in the Arizona Daily Star. You should share it with everyone. That's how beautiful it is. And this is by Sonia Pietaval in the paper this morning. Billy sent it out. It was from Friday. It's called Deteriorating Roads Show Local Officials Indifference. And she says at the end, perhaps you should vote a new candidate into office. There's a lot of good stuff in there, right? But right now, when you have this board of the Shaws, Layla, and the other two, no, they're not really serious about anything going on over there. Oh, I know everyone's all excited. They got, in that interview I heard with Rexy last week where he lied to listener Mike, Rex Scott, or no, he just did the wrong memo, Kim gave him the wrong notes. Something. I'm sure he'll explain it one day. Should be a fun Pima County county meeting tomorrow. Our girl Joanne will be there, a call of the audience. Watch it on YouTube tomorrow, a little after 9. Should be hilarious. But they're all excited because, I don't know, they sent over 1,000 kids to free preschool. Right? But they have no other concerns about anything else going on. This is what I tell you, right? This is when I've made fun of Ted on this and the chamber. And that's SALC people on this, is no one over there cares about any of this other stuff, right? The reading levels, the riots, whatever is going on, the indifference. If you're not taking care of that, then who cares about your preschool? I get it. It's taxpayer babysitting. I got it. So anyway, so nothing is a better end to Ms. Vinnick. And the sad part is she's going to go to jail, possibly. Who knows in this world? We do have Laura Conover as our county attorney.
What job did she have again?
Which one?
The gal that was arrested.
School counselor.
Counselor.
And basically betraying and abusing a 15-year-old girl. Yikes. Pray for TUSD. I used to tell you to pray for Gabe. Pray for all the kids and parents that are going to these places. It's like that Seinfeld with the backwards one when they go to India, right? And the dad says, don't go to India. It's a horrible place. It still has the plague. Don't go to TUSD. It still has the plague. It's like a spiritual plague over there. Wake up, Tucson. 10:30 The Voice. David Bowie. All right, Brother Joe coming up in the next hour. 790-2040 is the number. Tomorrow we got Steve McEwen. He's calling in about what's going on in the Santa Cruz County area with some political stuff. And then Mark Kadow from Tucson Games and Gadgets will be here for the monthly trivia. And should be quite a hoot. Quite a hoot. Food Friday is Wendy from Sheshik. Mark with movies and supervisor Steve Christie. Steve put it on the agenda for tomorrow. More madness of bonus payments and all that other stuff in the Chuckleberry multiverse of madness.
next thing you know, we're going to find out they paid mileage up to WikiUp or something.
So I want you to don't have cereal in your mouth when I read this part to you. But as Matt was pointing me out, there's a few more details about this story on KVOA by Anthony Reyes. Vinnick's ex-wife told the cops that the couple... what? Had been allowing the 15-year-old to live with them in their home... So we don't know if this kid's a foster kid, bad home. Well, that's the other thing, right? And then you bring this kid into the house. Maybe they're in trouble. Maybe whatever. Maybe they need a place to stay. And then you seduce the kid. I mean, it's just sick.
It's the way it works.
Especially since Ms. Vinnick says she's committed to mental health. She reported, this is the ex-wife, that... Vinnick, let's keep saying her name. They keep saying the 29-year-old. Zobella Vinnick had been, quote, co-sleeping together, and they found Zobella Vinnick's underwear hidden under the pillow of the bed of the student had been sleeping in. Sick puppies. Sick puppies. Woo! On the, I was telling you about the thing on the county agenda tomorrow. This is the one that Steve put on there. Discussion, direction, action regarding apparent change in policy regarding the public posting of communications from the county administrator to the Board of Supes, right? This is the one about the bonus payments that somehow went to... went out that some people got it. They got the county memo, but it wasn't posted on the page. So that's going to be part of that. Josh said that yes, that's they do call that grooming. Is, you know, take advantage of this poor kid, and it's like that story that was in the Daily Mail about the girl that was invited to the art club, but it turned out to be the gender identity. Let's see what we're going to do with you, club. Sick puppies, man. What you guys do to kids is sick. Noah, I'm sure Layla Counts is on top of all these. I think Lola's done. I think she's burnt out. That's what I think. So she could have, again, she hit me like Nikki Lee, right? Kind of thing. They got blocked out, burnt out, didn't want to fight. And this is where you're at. Now, I love this one. So, Greg Bradbury, very nice fella. If you ever meet Greg, he looks like he's about 11, okay? So, they changed the headline finally. But it, I guess because they're always going to cover Planned Parenthood protests, right? But for some reason, the headline was massive Parenthood protest in Armory Park.
I'm sure there was times when I was growing up, my parents wanted to protest Parenthood as well.
I just thought that was such a curious, it was almost like a Freudian slip, right? In relation to what are you guys protesting? And it almost made more sense that it was quote massive Parenthood protest by all these lefties in the park. let's go to Al, line 14. Al, good morning, sir.
Okay, this is my quick one. If it would have been a guy doing this to a girl, it'd have been all up and down the news and everything. But now it's a girl. It's okay. It's not okay, but it's not as big a deal.
That's what happens, right? That's usually the tendency here, right?
Always the way it ends up. We're the really super bad guys, and everybody else can kind of just slide and we'll look away.
Doing bad is doing bad, no matter if you're a man or a woman, right?
And exactly.
This is where we're at in the world, right? And you know, because if the guy did it, that would be part of the patriarchy, right? But she's But she's some sort of female. I don't know if she even is a transgender herself, but
well, that was her comments before that you quoted that she had made before about you know, white supremacy and right. Patriarchy and all this.
Correct. So Al, I know what you're saying. You're right. There would have been much more press coverage if it was a male teacher, but I mean, it's getting pretty good. So, sir, thanks. Have an awesome day, my friend. Stay out there. Keep people cool in those pools, my friend.
That's not me doing the pool. All I keep is the stuff from growing on them.
Ah, that's true. That's right. You're taking care of the guts of the thing, the real important part. So,
hey, I'm an essential worker. I didn't get no COVID vacation like everybody else did. I had to work. Keep everybody safe.
Amen, sir. Amen. Have a good day, my friend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Later. This is a story. Let's see who did this. This is Kurt Zindulka on Breitbart. But what's interesting, we'll stay on the thing. One of the co-founders of the far-left LGBTQ charity Stonewall has accused a group of discrediting equal rights activism. Here's the rub, as Hamlet once said. This is the co-founder of the LGBTQ charity Stonewall is accusing a group of discrediting their equal rights activism. And guess what group? This is Simon Fanshawe. Okay. What a great name. That sounds like something out of an Agatha Christie novel. Simon Fanshawe. The group that Simon is accusing of discrediting the equal rights activism of an LGBTQ charity is the Transgender Nuts. He's literally saying that the activists on that go crazy over dudes beating up girls in sports and all this stuff is ruining it for the rest. He's an openly gay man who spent decades campaigning for equal rights in Britain. He says that he and others have made gains by engaging with others of differing opinions. In contrast, Simon is accusing the current batch of trans activists as treating their ideology as non-negotiable. Quote, all that work is now in danger of being wrecked and discredited, and its credibility squandered by trans activists. Not all trans people, I'm hasten to add, who believe they can dictate what everyone else is allowed to say and think, he wrote in a piece in the Daily Mail. Quote, a small minority of activists, including those who have taken over Stonewall, do not want to extend decency and tolerance to the rest of the population. That's the line. A small minority of activists, including those who've taken over Stonewall, do not want to extend decency and tolerance to the rest of the population. Equality to them means imposing their views on everyone else without debate. That should concern anyone who believes in freedom of speech, that freedom of speech is sacrosanct. Simon. Woo! Brother Joe coming up next. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show. 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk.